get our act together here. We're going to take a couple minutes for prayer. And if you have someone you want to lift up, feel free to do so. And let's respond by saying, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, we come to you today with these that are we have spoken and those that are on our hearts. And as we come and worship you today, we believe you see us here, whether we are sitting, standing, singing, speaking, or silent. More important, we believe that you also see inside of us the inner doubts that we harbor, inner sadness over what has happened recently, inner fears over what may happen, inner anger towards some person who has caused us pain, an inner love towards someone who has helped us and been there for us. Whatever feelings stir inside of us today, we come and we ask that you would minister to us and bring inspiration into the outside, to our insides. Minister to us this morning through the music, through the words we hear and the words we speak, through the touch we feel in handshakes and hugs, and the prayers that we share together. We also pray that you would give us insight today about ourselves, about the nature and purpose of our lives, about who we are and what we can become, and to your power and purpose of each of us. And through the words that we hear, we help us to sort out that word that you have for each of us. So I ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us today, that you would speak to us, each of us, in some way, by the touch of your Spirit upon us. And we bring ourselves to you today, in Jesus' name. This is, okay, you got to tone those puppies down. I can handle the ones behind me. Today is the fifth in a series of messages that I've been doing on the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit brings us counseling concerning fears and doubts and turmoil and temptations. And today I'm going to talk about past bondage. Now, if you want to hear any of the messages in this series, they can be found out there on the CDs on the wall, or you can get on the website. Today, though, I want us to look at the counsel of the Holy Spirit concerning past bondage. The Holy Spirit is our divine counselor, a heavenly psychiatrist, if you will, who gives us counsel concerning the things that torment us. He also gives us the power to transcend and overcome these things. We've been using Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 for a kind of a thing. It's a Christmas scripture, but it also speaks to what the Holy Spirit does. So let's read it together. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. There are six things in there in terms of what kind of counsel we get from the Holy Spirit. Read with me John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Let me give you a definition first about what the Holy Spirit wants to identify in many of us. Bondage, by definition, is being in a state of captivity. It is being held captive and bound up by some controlling person or force or a memory or a compulsion. Past bondage is being bound by some past experience in our lives, or maybe a series of past experiences or people in our past which subject us and kind of hobbles us in particular points in our lives. Past bondages are those places in our lives where something happened and it registered itself and put a hook in us, and it hobbles us today in our present life situations. Our relationships are affected by these points in our lives. They make us less effective and less fulfilled as people. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful counselor who comes and he begins to work on those places in our lives and brings them to the surface so that we can get rid of them or overcome them or transcend them. And the Holy Spirit brings us to helps to bring to light the things in our lives that come out of our past most of the time that need to be brought to the surface so that we can be they can be expelled from our lives. Now, bondage is something that we have a very difficult time breaking loose from. In fact, in most cases, it really does take divine intervention to really gain freedom from bondage. Just as the people of Israel would never have been freed from Egypt without some divine intervention, so we also, when it comes to bondage in our lives, whether it be past or present, will never be freed without some of God's help in terms of things in terms of our lives. As I talk to you about this, I want you to remember that I put the stuff on the sozo in here, so if any of you want to use that, you can call the church office and set up a time to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with some of that. And there's applications, I think, out there on the Welcome Center as well. Read with me John chapter 16, verses 7 to 9 and 13 to 14. Here we go. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit is our counselor and deliverer. The Holy Spirit comes and filters at the deep levels of our lives and brings to the surface the things that have been etched in our psyche, maybe back in our youth. Things that give us a distorted view of reality. Things that pull on us like an old wound. Things that elicit unwanted emotional responses from us at times. Things that are like bile in our mouths occasionally. People and things we have never forgiven nor forgot about. Things that are both big and small. They're memories that are distorted in us. Now, I have found that this particular area of our lives seems to be present in most all of us in one form or another. It can also be the most devastating and crippling things in our relationships and our lives. So I want to pause now and I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal these places to us individually so that we can begin to be released from these points of bondages. And I have in the bulletin just a place to write things down. And I've found that if you write down things that are come to mind, a lot of times that's when you can really deal with them and get rid of them. So let's pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to each of us. Lord, I ask that you would speak to each of us, that you would come as counselor for all of us here. I pray that you would help identify places where, well, we have some kind of or we're bound up in some form or fashion. I pray that you would come and be our filter and filter through some of the stuff that has happened in our lives and how that affects us so that we can deal with it as your people. And I ask that this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, in identifying points of past bondage, there are points of control that are registered in us when we are children in some of us. And what they're kind of like fish hooks in our psyche. And there's a line attached to them. And if you give that line a yank, it hurts like the Dickens on a soul-deep level. And you'll find sometimes that it can be a very small thing that happened in our past. You might think that, well, that shouldn't really bother me, but it can bind a person up if you get a good yank on it. Little things. Now, these are actual true points of bondage. I have been dealing with people for a lot of years, and every one of these has happened within the context of people I know and relationships that I have. The woman who won't sing because when she was growing up, a teacher told her that she sounded terrible and she couldn't sing. It stopped her from lifting her voice in true worship and joyfulness to the God of her salvation for years. The boy who doesn't like hot showers because he was burned one time as a small child in a bath. The boy who won't play basketball because he was told by a coach that he was terrible. Or the girl who won't play baseball because she was told that girls don't do that kind of stuff because it isn't ladylike. Little things. Little things that put hooks in us and don't affect us except in certain places. What about you? What does the Holy Spirit bring to mind? Now, if you've seen the Indiana Jones movies, there's a scene in the Raiders of the Lost Ark that we come across, and Indiana Jones has to deal with some past bondage. So if you want to show that first one.
Snakes.
Yeah, if you see the first movie, it's just, well, I wonder what happened to him and why did it have to be snakes? Well, we actually discover in the third movie, which is The Last Crusade, what happened to him as a young boy and why he is so afraid of snakes. That's Andy running right there. So we found out he had a point of bondage in his life that when he was doing the Raiders of the Lost Ark, he looks down and he says, why did it have to be snakes? It was registered in him when he was a kid. And having seen what he went through, I can understand why he has a strong dislike for snakes. He may be tough as nails, but when it comes to snakes, not so much. Points of bondage. Some are much more serious than this. One guy I know who didn't come to church because his father was very diligent in taking him to church, but his father was nothing but show, and the boy saw right through him And he grew up, and his point of bondage in terms of his relationship with God was his father's falsehood in terms of religious life. I know people who have a strong aversion to hospitals and nursing homes, and it is because of the suffering of someone that they loved when they were growing up in a hospital or a nursing home. In fact, when I first went into the ministry, the senior pastor that I worked with had an aversion to nursing homes. And so I got the job of seeing all the people that were in there. I know people who don't like funeral homes because there's a registered point of bondage in the death of a loved one. Usually a father or mother, brother, sister, it has become a painful fishhook-like thing that is placed in their soul, which if you give that string a pull, it can be painful. I know people who have had a loved one, spouse, or someone, and we've had the service here in the church. And after that is over, the spouse, a lot of times, has a very difficult time coming to church because they have that spot. They remember points of bondage. Some are more serious than this. I know women whose fathers are alcoholics or abusive in some form or fashion because of points of bondage. It distorts their view of men in a negative way, and also it distorts their view of Father God because of the negative example that they had in their upbringing. I know men who have had bad experiences in terms of their mothers, and because of that experience, something registers it on their psyche and it gives them distorted views of women. And their relationship with their spouse is difficult at best at times. Points of bondage that not only hurt but distort our view of people. The boy whose father is a minister and suffered at the hands of a congregation, and so therefore he hated everything that had to do with church. The grown woman who suffered deep psychic pain, a point of bondage because of attempted rape on a date or a forced attempt at incest from her father. An abortion that has registered a deep-seated guilt. The boy who suffers fits of rage and depression, which are psychic reactions to the suicide of his father when he was in grade school. Points of bondage. The girl who is now a grown woman who every so often has to deal with her alcoholic mother on a binge, and it rips her apart on the inside when she has to deal with it. The kids, multitudes of kids, who grow up and have suffered through a broken home and divorce. The deep-seated guilt and sense of not being loved and being left alone, and it's a point of bondage and unforgiveness and pain for kids of divorces who then become adults. The adults who have suffered through divorce and who have registered deep-seated hurts and pain, points of bondage, which greatly distorts their relationships with people of the opposite sex. Destroys levels of trust, commitment in all relationships. The kids who are destroyed potentially because of peer pressure in junior high or high school and never think much of themselves because of the way they were treated by their peers during those formative years. And they are points of bondage in people. And the list can go on and on and on. Points of bondage. Sometimes the actual points of bondage, the place where the hook really is hidden. We can't find it. We don't know that point of entry. It's been buried in our psyche someplace. That's one reason why Sozo is such a good instrument or experience for a lot of people, because it actually shows people where those hooks are. One woman was having great difficulty with her relationship with her husband, especially sexually, and without going into great detail, it was by the counsel of the Holy Spirit that her point of bondage came to light. It seems that when she was around 13 years old, her grandfather walked past her room and she was naked. And it gave her a lurid look. Or, well, at least her perception was that it was a lurid look. Whether it was or not, really doesn't matter, because the perception was what was important and what counted. And that 15-second event in her life had become a point of bondage between her and her husband. And it had registered a hook in that woman's life. A man hated his father, and the boy in him was the father of the man. And he hated his father because his father had come in a fit of rage and destroyed one of his toys in an instant. That was only about a minute long. That boy had lost 20 years of relationship with his father because his father had, in a moment of lost self-control, destroyed that boy's toy. How can we find these places in our lives? Where can we get a psychiatrist who will say, you know, well, here it is? Or for that matter, which of us had enough money to go out and pay for a psychiatrist to find those places, even if they could be found? Besides, how many qualified people are there actually around that you can get that kind of counsel from? Friends, the Holy Spirit is our wonderful counselor and will bring these kinds of things that are registered on the deep levels of our personality to light and begin to surface them in order to get rid of them. And these places are dealt with as we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit through prayer, scripture, and meditation. And I realize that that sounds very cliche, but it in fact is the thing that will do it for us. Read with me Romans 12, 1 and 2. Here we go. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, that scripture says, be transformed. Let the Spirit of God work in you in terms of things. Let me give you a step-by-step way in which we can be counseled in these areas of our lives. First, past bondage is the result of something happening to us. And it happened to us in a natural course of life or by sin done to us. And that sin is either somebody who sins against us or it is a sin that we committed that registered and hooked us in some form or fashion. Because in this life, stuff happens. So the first thing we need to do as the Holy Spirit brings it to the surface is a combination of renunciation and repentance. Now, the repentance has to do with sin in our lives so we can get to the point of forgiveness of God and then begin to be healed as the hook is removed, you might say, when we forgive ourselves so that we are not hobbled by it anymore. This is past bondage that we have single-handedly put upon ourselves. It is not environmental. It's just the fact that we may have been involved in some known sin, and after forgiveness is the need to be healed from that sinful time. We also need to renounce some things. Renounce those places and memories, those past bondages, whether it is our own fault or the fault of others. We need to say, I am done with this pain. And we need the healing of forgiveness, whether it is the forgiveness of ourselves or the forgiveness of others. And dealing with points of bondage begins with either repentance or renunciation, or in a lot of cases, just a combination of the two. And when we get through that initial phase, we then begin to receive revelation and restoration. Now, this is a part that is particularly enhanced through prayer and scripture and meditation. It has to do with listening to God. Through the counsel of the Holy Spirit, the revelation that we begin to receive during this time has to do with how those points of bondage actually came about. Because a lot of times we don't know how it happened to us. And the Lord will actually show us scenes in our lives when things happened. With the revelation comes the need a lot of times for restoration of these places or points in our lives. And since we can't relive our lives and those times, in order for restoration to take place, We need to come to the foot of the cross as Jesus died for us and take what he has given to us, and not just forgiveness for sin, but healing of our souls, the casting out of points of bondage in our lives so that we no longer suffer under that bondage. Revelation and restoration. I lived in Kentucky for 23 years, and one of the things that Western Kentucky had was coal mining. A lot of it was open pit mining. One time I was driving by an open pit coal mine that was in the process of reclamation. And the Lord showed me a picture at that time. It's similar to what happens to us in this process of what God begins to work. The hole in our soul, wherever that hook was, is removed, but it also has to be reclaimed. It's kind of like the land that was reclaimed after they did an open pit coal mine. It has to be filled with something else. And that's where you allow the Spirit to fill that spot with something that is good and acceptable, as this Romans passage says. Finally, by the counsel of the Holy Spirit, the way to gain release and freedom from past bondage is to take a position and make a statement. A statement of faith, if you will, and it's also a confession. The key to true deliverance from past bondage is a willingness to stand up and say, Lord, I am not going to have anything to do with this anymore. There's a place where we need to come to where something in us cries out and says, Lord, I will it not to have a part of my life anymore. And there are a host of people, when it comes to sin, want forgiveness, but they don't want to repent because that means that they would have to change their lives. They want forgiveness, but they want to go on living in the sin, you might say. There are hosts of people who want to be freed from past bondage, but they don't want to be delivered from it. Some of us are like the people of Israel. We want to be free from Pharaoh, but we want to stay in Egypt or in our place of bondage. The key to getting out of bondage is moving from that place of bondage to a place of freedom, and that comes from the heart. You don't just say it with your lips either. You know the Lord will never be able to break through unless we renounce some of the things that are in our hearts. And that doesn't happen overnight either. The Holy Spirit may have to work with us for quite some time. You may have to spend a few sessions with the divine psychiatrist, you might say. The way we do it is through prayer and scripture and meditation. The Holy Spirit is the wonderful counselor who will release us from bondage, and it all comes from the flow of the Spirit and feeding on the Word of God and being in prayer about it. You know, if you get it identified, you go to God with it. I expect one of the reasons I'm able to talk about this is because the Lord has revealed some of this through the fact that I live in the Word and I feed on it regularly. I'm not just talking to you about it from up here, because it's my job. It's actually been entwined in my life, and I'm just as human as you are, with just as many faults and weaknesses, but I know how God can work in our lives if we let him. And so I get direction and revelation from God, but you have to be with him on occasion. You got to be feeding on the scripture regularly. You got to allow, okay, God, this is where you get in the conversation. I said, I got issues here. Help me out. And what I've been doing actually in this series is just giving you the counsel of the Holy Spirit, who gave me counsel as to what to say. And it's the Holy Spirit who is the wonderful counselor. I'm just the voice up here. Allow God to work in your life. And there are things in our lives that have happened to us that we need God's help in getting rid of it or bringing it to the surface so that we can deal with it. It is the Holy Spirit. You have a place on your bulletin where you can write these things down. I always found out that a lot of times if you can put a name on something, you can actually deal with it. A lot of times it just kind of wanders around in our heads. But if you actually write it down, you can actually deal with it. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today and that you would guide us through this. And if we have points in our lives where we need to deal with things, that you would bring it to our attention and then help us walk through it. In Jesus' name, amen.